Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
My name is Pastor Tom Matthew. I oversee the adult ministries here at the church, and it's been a little bit since I've been over here, a few months, and so it's so good to see you guys, familiar faces, and be a part of the prayer meeting with you here today. Well, we've got two little boys, my wife and I. We've got a 3.5-year-old named Judah and a 1.5-year-old named Josiah. There they are. And they are two boys, and so our house is a lot of fun right now, okay? Now, I know I was warned about how rambunctious they would be and all that, but I'm telling you, I have never met two more reckless and careless people in my life than those two guys that are smiling right there. Don't be deceived, okay? So, they give no forethought to what they're going to do. They just do things based on their feelings and expect me and my wife to just save them and rescue them, you know? But this past week, we had Ninja Warrior at the Friday night Stronger Men's Conference. And so we thought, how cool would it be to take our 3-year-old son to go see this, right? He's watched it on TV, and it's going to be so cool for him to see it. And we had a great time. I mean, great conversation. He loved every bit of it. Now, the issue, ever since last Friday, we've had Ninja Warrior at our house all day, every day, okay? He's jumping off the couch. He's jumping off the bed. He's spinning on the table. He's falling head first into the floor because it's the pool, right? And then his 1.5-year-old, our son, is just watching him and trying to do it in his own way. But needless to say, we could use a little prayer in this season, this worrisome season of our life. You know, none of us enjoy being anxious or worried. However, it's a part of life. And the older that you get, it seems though as though this worry seems to intensify, it seems to increase with every stage of life. I mean, as kids, they're not worried about a thing. But as you get older, with each stage of life, whether it's, you know, when you're in high school or college, you know, when you're looking for that job, when you're getting married, I mean, when you have children, with each stage, it seems to intensify even more. And tonight, as in a room like this, filled with a crowd like this, I know there are so many different things that are causing you to be worried. So many issues and circumstances that are represented here that cause a person or a family to be crippled by fear, concern, and worry. You know, it could be in regards to your relationship, a husband and a wife, or maybe between a parent and their child. It could be in regards to your future and your job, your place of employment, what's going to happen, what's going to come. Or it could be just in regards to seeing what's happening in the news, in the world today. And the reality is that though we can't control being worried or having that feeling come over us, what we're about to find out in our text is that we don't have to live there. We don't have to stay in a constant state of being worried. God's got something else in store for his followers, his children, his believers. And that's what we're going to look at today in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Paul says this, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." Amen? Amen. Don't worry about anything, but instead pray about everything. Don't worry, just pray. Now, I know on the surface, it could seem as though, man, that's a cool slogan or a cute phrase on a t-shirt. But when Paul says this right here, he's speaking from experience. You see, what Paul is saying here, it's actually not brand new. It's not original to Paul. Jesus actually taught the same thing in Matthew chapter 6 in his Sermon on the Mount. You might remember he talked about it and he said, hey, don't worry about what you're going to eat and drink. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about your future. And Jesus asked this question, can you add a single day to your life by worrying? The answer is no, right? And when Paul tells us this in Philippians, he's coming from an angle of having experienced firsthand the power of prayer in his life. See, the Apostle Paul, he endured a lot as he traveled the world preaching the gospel. He was beaten. There were angry mobs that were chasing him. He was shipwrecked. I mean, there was so much that would cause a person to live worried and in a state of constant just fear. But instead, it's after going through all of this that Paul says, don't worry, just pray. He's got something here for us that I think it's important for all of us to take hold of, that we've got to recognize for ourselves, because even though you can't control worry, you can control staying in that state of constant worry. And so the first takeaway that we can see from our text today to combat worry and not allow it to take root in our lives, the first takeaway is this: we've got to proactively replace worry with prayer. We've got to proactively replace worry with prayer. You know, as Martin Luther, who said this quote, he said, "You can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair." And the truth is that we can't stop ourselves from getting worried, but you can keep yourself from living worried. How? Proactively replace the worries in your life with prayer. Now, why do I keep saying proactively? Because I like saying it? No. The thing is, for most of us, what happens is that prayer becomes a last resort instead of a first option. And when that takes place, we head down a road that God never intended us for us to head down. We encounter situations and we bring on things onto our life that God never intended us to take on. But if we had sought him first, if we had went and took prayer as a first option, then we would have seen things differently. We would have experienced what God would have for us. You know, when you focus your attention on your worries, it can consume you or it can cripple you. But if you turn your attention to God, his thoughts and his ways will overtake you and become the way that you live out your life. You know, for my wife, Blessing, and I, there's no time like the present where this verse, you know, means a lot to us. You know, the North Campus that we prayed about earlier, my wife and I are so excited to be leading and heading that up in this new season of the church. You know, we're just so pumped to think about what God is going to do as we go to the north side of town. I mean, we're praying, we're believing. God has put this on the heart of our leaders. And just to think, what does God have in store? I mean, you guys remember Vision Sunday, right? If God did that in 25 years and the best is yet to come, what's going to happen when we launch the North Campus? We don't know, but we know he's got something special in store. And the reality is this, though, as excited and elated as my wife and I are, I'd be lying to you if I told you that there wasn't worries or concerns that we were experiencing or facing. Questions such as, do we have what it takes? I mean, are we really the right fit? Can we take on this responsibility? What about all of this unknown? We've never, ever done anything like this in our lives. Can we do this? You see, if we don't replace these feelings of worry and concern with faith-filled prayers, then there's no way that we're going to be able to move forward and go after all that God has for us. Worry and concern wants to keep us down, keep us from moving forward, hold us down. But what God wants for each and every one of us is to propel us forward and go after the victory that he has in store for us. But we've got to replace that worry. We've got to replace that proactively with faith, right? We've got to replace it. If we don't replace it, it will bear fruit in our life and consume us. You know, today, for you, the situation might look different. It might not be the same as what we're going through. But those feelings of inadequacy, those feelings of, I don't know if I can do this. I'm worried about this. I'm concerned about that. The feelings of angst are all too familiar for you. This sense of, how am I going to make it? How are we going to do this? How is my family going to push through? And I want to suggest to you today that how we pray is just as important as the prayer itself. And Paul understood this, which is why he says this when we look back at our text. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, he says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. Tell him what you need and thank him for all that he's done. You see, all of us are good at the former, right? Telling God what we need, how we need it, when we need it by, and the way that we need it done. We're all good at that, right? I know I've done that myself. All right, God, here's my situation. Here's how I see you taking care of it. If you do X, Y, Z, by tomorrow, everything is going to be A-OK, right? But that's not how it works. That's not how God has it for us. And Paul says this, if we focus on just our needs, if we focus on the problem at hand, if we fix our attention just on that, that's not going to give us the hope that we need to move forward. But instead, when we replace that and when we start thanking God for what he's done, how he's gone before us, the things that he's already brought us through, that gives us the confidence that we need to continue pressing forward. Now, I know what I'm about to say might catch some of you off guard for a moment, but sometimes if you're not careful, you can walk away from praying more depressed than when you came into that prayer. Okay? I remember I was sitting in the hospital with a family member of a relative that had just gone in for heart surgery. And we were sitting in the chapel, right? And so we're praying to ourselves and we're just praying individually. And I could hear this person praying. And here was their prayer. Lord, we pray, Lord, that this does not take place during surgery. We pray that the doctor does not mess up and cause this to happen. We pray, oh Lord, that the nurses don't screw up or fall asleep, Lord. We pray that this outcome that has a 0.00001 chance of happening, we pray that that does not take place in Jesus' name. Amen. Doesn't that just fill you with hope right there? Don't you just walk away going, wow, my God, he can do anything, right? Not so much. And I was like, man, I was discouraged. And I was like, my prayers were getting shouted down by this prayer right here. But, you know, you look at that and you go, that's not the way that God intended us to pray. That's not a faith-filled prayer. Instead of us asking God and saying, hey, God, can you prevent this from happening? Can you prevent this from taking place? Why don't we pray to God and ask him, God, do the miracle in the midst of the situation that you can do. Do what only you can do to turn this around. You see, when we approach the Lord with a heart of gratitude and when we thank him for all that he has done, it fills us with confidence to face that which is in front of us. You know, I talked about for me and my wife some of the worries and concerns and the questions that we have going into the North Campus that could really cripple us and keep us down if we didn't replace it. But then we began to thank the Lord for what he's already done, like the 52 acres on the north side of town that he provided for us. Right? We began thanking him for that. All the people that have come to us already and said, we're in, we're on board, we're ready to help you launch the North Campus. You know, we began looking at our lives and over the last 5.5 years and how God has developed us and built us for such a time as this. I mean, my wife and I, we grew up in a small Indian church of 80 people. And to think that God has brought us for such a time as this, we stand in awe of how good he is. But then we thank God for what he's going to do. And we say, man, what about all the lives that are going to meet Jesus for the first time at the North Campus? You know, what about the people that are going to walk in there battling life-controlling issues for years and years that are going to walk into the presence of the Lord and experience deliverance and freedom? What about the people that are going to come there that have not experienced community? They're going to get into a life group and experience what it looks like when you have people supporting you and encouraging you, and you're not doing life alone. We thank you in advance for what you're going to do. And when we do that, you know what? All of a sudden, we're filled with hope. All of a sudden, we're back up again. As the enemy wanted to keep us pinned down to the ground, when we began going to the presence of the Lord with a heart of gratitude and thankfulness, he gives us the strength that we need and the confidence that we need, and he shifts our perspective from our problem to what he has in store for us, and he gives us what we need to keep us moving forward. You know, this is what God wants to do in each and every one of our lives. This is what he wants to do, but it doesn't happen passively. It doesn't just happen without any action on our part. But what Paul says here is that we've got to pray. We've got to go to the Lord. It takes intentionality on our part. It takes action on our part. We've got to go to the presence of the Lord, seek him with a heart of gratitude, and that's when we're able to see him go before us in a great way. You know, when we pray with thanksgiving, worries, cares, those sorts of things diminish, and God becomes brighter in our lives. Well, what the verse goes on to tell us is when we pray like this, when we're able to replace our worries with faith and hope and what God has in store for us, and we thank him for all that he's done, let's look at the result, verse 7. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Isn't that a good word? You know, our second takeaway is this: when we replace our fears, our worries with prayer, we're able to experience God's supernatural peace. Everybody say peace. Peace. It's something the world seeks after. It's something the world longs for. And God is telling us today, I can give you this peace that the world can't offer. You know, in John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus says, the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. He wants to give you his supernatural peace. What is this peace? This peace is a confidence and trust in God's wise and good control of your life. You see, whereas situations and circumstances seek to destabilize you, God's peace allows you to keep pressing forward. It gives you the strength to keep going on. It gives you the right perspective that you need to press on towards the plan and the will that God has for you. You see, when we experience the peace of God through prayer, situations that are impossible all of a sudden start looking like they can be possible. Situations that seem like there is no way that I can get out of this all of a sudden become the avenue by which God is able to bring about victory in your life. And what's so awesome about that verse that Paul says there, it says that he will give you this peace and it will guard your heart and your mind. It will guard your heart and your mind. This word guard, it's a military word that's used here. And basically what it's implying here is like a soldier that's standing on guard. Peace is going to be on guard for your heart and for your mind so that cares and worries cannot enter. God is going to have his supernatural peace as a covering over you so that as the enemy tries to throw worry, concern, angst, anxiousness, despair, hopelessness, all of these things at you, the peace of God is going to overwhelm you.